Public Safety Commission is called to order. We begin to acknowledge that the land on which we gather and that is currently known as the City of West Hollywood is the occupied, unceded, seized territory of the Gabrieleño Tongva and the Gabrieleño Quiche peoples. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. May I please get a roll call, Commission Secretary?
Commissioner Ng.
Here.
Commissioner Hallman.
Here.
Commissioner Pilarski.
Here.
Vice Chair Blau.
Here.
Chair Harrison.
Here.
Please note that Commissioner Post may be joining us later in the this evening.
Are there any changes to tonight's agenda for January 26th?
Actually, I just have a note. It looks like we're missing. Thank you. It looks like we're missing from the agenda that's at least online the land acknowledgement on there, just as a note.
Good thing I said it.
Thank you. Yes. Do you have it in front of you? Are you able to read the land acknowledgement?
I just did.
Oh, did you? Okay, perfect.
Is my mic not on again?
No. Okay. I think my brain's on, but let's continue.
I think once is enough. Thank you, Commissioner Blau. Can I please get a roll call, Commission Secretary? Or do I have a motion to approve the agenda? Apologies.
I will move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you. May I please get a roll call, Commission Secretary?
Commissioner Ng?
Aye.
Commissioner Hallman?
Aye.
Commissioner Pilarski?
Aye.
Vice Chair Blau?
Aye.
Chair Harrison?
Aye.
The agenda is approved.
Next, the approval of the minutes. Are there any changes to the minutes for December 8th, 2025?
No changes.
Do I have a motion to approve?
I will move to approve the minutes.
And I can second.
Thank you. May I please get a roll call, Commission Secretary?
Commissioner Ng?
Aye.
Commissioner Hallman?
Aye.
Commissioner Pilarski?
Aye.
Vice Chair Blau?
Aye.
Chair Harrison?
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Do we have any public comments or any callers at Zoom this time?
Yes, let's check Zoom. I believe we do have one caller. Katie Thomas, if you are on Zoom, if you would like to unmute yourself, you will have 3 minutes.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Wonderful. Hey, everyone. Some of you may know me. This is Captain Casey Thomas, and I'm here on behalf of the Women's Advisory Board as a liaison. We have a few events and initiatives we believe will be of interest to the Commission. Last year, during the month of October, the board helped share awareness, information, and resources about domestic intimate partner advice. We will be working on a new campaign for this October. Our board recently participated in the annual statewide gathering of commissions and boards hosted by the California Commission on the Status of Women and Girls and the Los Angeles County Commission for Women. We came away with shared goals that we'll be addressing throughout the year with other women's commissions and boards across California. Some of those include housing, health care, pay equity, and wealth building, gender bias and discrimination, support for survivors of foster care and human trafficking, and career development for girls and product safety and women's health. At our November meeting, the board discussed various community and nightlife safety issues impacting women with Captain Fanny Lapkin and Director of Community Safety, Dan Rivas, including data pertaining to sexual assault, domestic violence, and drink spiking incidents, and their prevention reduction efforts. This is an initiative that will be of importance to our work plan throughout this year. Looking ahead, I want to update you on what we have in development for the Women's History Month of March with Sports Lake Defense. But the centerpiece will be a women's health symposium. We'll be covering topics like understanding healthcare coverage, reproductive health, cancer education, financial health, and we'll be pursuing an event on public safety in that. We're excited to host this event, not just for West Hollywood residents, but for people throughout Los Angeles County. We will also be promoting the Women in Leadership Awards event being held that month too. More details will be available soon to share with you for support. Please feel free to come by or Zoom into our meetings and give the board any updates on the commission or how we can help support any initiatives moving forward. We meet the fourth Thursday of the month in the City Hall community meeting. However, this month we are meeting, our meeting will be the last Thursday of January 29th. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Katie. Now we will start the public comments in chambers. Our first comment is David Nash. David, if you'd like to approach the podium, you will have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is David Nash. I'm a West Hollywood resident for 27 years. I don't know that I've ever met any of you before, and I can't really see you. But there are three things I'm going to try and bring up in my 3 minutes. One is public safety on the boulevard. It's just such a magnet for a big number of people, and they get very rowdy. They're there to drink and shove you as they walk by, say sorry and push you. And things just feel sort of out of control, and I always wish I'd see a uniformed officer nearby, but I don't. If there's some coverage, I occasionally see someone at the Abbey, but I just don't see it, and it makes me think we could do better to protect this world-famous strip up here. Then the other two things are about lighting. On my street, Palm Avenue, it seems very dimly lit. The lights are spaced out and only on one side of the street. Lauren Meister once commented to me that it looks like they need sidewalk lighting, but it's just dim, shaded by the full growth. And if you took your sunglasses and put Vaseline on them, you'd see like I see. It's a very low vision. And at night when it's dark, it's treacherous. But most importantly, if any of you would walk or send an email to me, up here on the second floor, there's a cable going the width of the room across the sidewalk, covered by a standard TV cover the cable thing. And there's another crossing up the walkway, up the diagonal one, where they're putting in new electric lights. But I don't know why they stopped when they got the cables in. There's a machine fenced up to move the cables up and down, and they've been there for at least 3 weeks. And lastly, I want to say a friend of mine, little Charo, as in coochie, 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 tripped over one of those cables backstage in Las Vegas, and she lost a 6-month run. It was cut down in half. She couldn't go on stage and not walk. I nearly tripped over this one coming in here that I didn't know about. I knew about the one on the side path, so I'm saying there's some electric cables that are laid over the sidewalk and covered in metal, and they don't belong there. They shouldn't have been left there. It's bad planning, and if any of you can email the right person to fix it, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Next, we have Wendy Goldman. You will have 3 minutes.
Hi, Wendy Goldman, West Hollywood, Cynthia Sunset Neighborhood Watch. I'm here for a couple of different items. One is local. I've come before you in the past to talk about the traffic problems at Doheny and Cynthia. I have been to the Transportation Commission. I have asked for some mutual discussion about this intersection because it is partially controlled by Beverly Hills on the west side. The west side does not have the appropriate signage for no left turn during rush hours, morning and afternoon. I have sent emails to the city manager in Beverly Hills and informed her and the transportation director there. However, as far as I know, there has been no discussion about this particular problem. The other issue is, after coming before you about Sunset Strip and the numerous pedestrian obstacles that I've reported over the years, I'm sorry to say that I haven't noticed any improvement whatsoever regarding the sidewalks, one improvement thanks to Director Rivas, and I will always be grateful for the addition hotel shrubbery being trimmed. It sounds small, but it took 2 years to get that, so. In any case, I encourage you to start looking locally, what we're going to do to improve Sunset Strip, help our small businesses, and perhaps get some art, wraparound vinyl art around some of the vacant properties, which I'm currently working on with an artist. In any case, that's my local issue or two. I'm sorry to say that on Friday, I was informed that a friend of mine was a victim of domestic violence. Her firefighter husband murdered her, and or allegedly murdered her. And I've never known anyone who was murdered, so this is completely shocking to me. And I'm still digesting it. I'm trying not to let it scare me. It was, you know, an isolated incident, but she was a teacher, a very sweet person, and so really has shaken me. So the Women's Advisory Board, which I totally support, is bringing this issue of domestic violence to your attention, and I hope that we can do some more programming to inform the residents. And finally, I want to see more action taken on behalf of our local immigrant population to speak up about the ICE raids that are going on around the country, especially Minneapolis, and the murders that are going on there. I think that this commission needs to take a serious look at these issues and bring some awareness to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Next, we have Ed Holman. If you want to approach the podium, you will have 3 minutes.
First, I want to offer my condolences and sympathy to Wendy. We talked earlier, but she didn't tell me about that. I'm shook by that, so sorry that that happened to a friend of yours. Real quick, December 29th, exactly 4 weeks ago tonight, ticket number 1765402, open with the city's website, about streetlights that are out on, one particular streetlight out on the street. And this public safety, we need to have all of our lights working. I reported it, and in the app, it told me that was gonna take 3 to 4 weeks to get it fixed. I don't understand why it takes that long to get lights fixed in the city. The ticket has been marked complete, and on my way here tonight, and I just had another neighbor verify it, the light is still out. I don't know if you guys can talk to somebody and get them to expedite getting the lights in the city fixed. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Next, we have Larry Block. Larry, you will have 3 minutes.
Hi, everybody. Larry Block, West Hollywood. Just been laying low, trying to digest things. Didn't expect this to be a little difficult to talk, but I just want to thank people who reached out, strangers, neighbors, for this so much love. But there's a lot of hate too. And some of the comments being bantered around are kind of hard to digest. My shop and I have contributed very much to this city. When Danny Hang introduced his hot dog bill, he stated, and I quote, Danny, colleagues, this item is about something pretty simple, but deeply important. Keeping our community safe, protecting public health, and ensuring fairness for everyone who does business in West Hollywood. I'm an equal opportunity employer. 8 of my 11 staff are brown, black, or Asian. Standing up for keeping the community safe, or protecting public health, or ensuring fairness for everyone who does business in West Hollywood is not about race or gender or racism. I've had a couple of my employees be assaulted. I've had death threats. They're bona fide with the sheriff department there. I'm scared to walk down the street and up to the shop. When I spoke here in June about after I had restorative eye surgery and I could see out of one eye, I was so excited. I got to Pride and the hot dog vendors are in front and they're lining up in front. And I, in my face, like, we can't do business here. I pushed one away. A guy comes to lunge at me and punch me in the eye. And the guy sent me home because, you know, I'm going to lose an eye because that I could just see because of a fucking hot dog vendor. They all crowd around there. We are the catch-all between Mickey's and Revolver's, so there's this alcove there where we're the hot dog eatery, and we have to pick up in the morning the cups, the onions, the mess, the juice, and everything, and that's just, like, not the way the city is supposed to be run. My store is rat-infested. The whole city is rat-infested. These rats come in, go walk in the morning, they're eating on the chips, they're upstairs. The city's rat-infested. And the city does not have any rodent mitigation plan, and that's a public health safety issue too. My store has been a special place. I'm going too slow to really finish, so I'll just get to the very end there. The city has been responsive. They placed an allied safety booth next to the shop. Things have been a little more calm since then. Thank you very much. And this last weekend, we had a sting operation that I was tipped off to, and everything was beautiful. And I took the sign down off the window in respect to the fact that things were safe this past weekend and we had no problems. So I'd like to ask you about that. Jackie Rocco mentioned something about talking to you about expanding that past 7 p.m. to be able to have Allied out there through the night shift too, not only till 7 p.m. So I just want to thank everybody who reached out again. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. And our final speaker is Helen Krieger. Helen, you will have 3 minutes.
Hi, Public Safety Commissioners. Helen Krieger, your liaison from the Transportation and Mobility Commission. I just wanted to give you a quick update on our last meeting. We were supposed to have an update on the Vision Zero dashboard, and we were not able to get it, unfortunately, so hopefully that will happen in February. So just to remind you, the Vision Zero dashboard is something that a lot of other cities have done to show what progress we are or are not making towards having zero deaths from traffic fatalities. And as we know, traffic violence, traffic collisions, injuries and deaths from traffic is really high in West Hollywood right now, so we really want to get that up as quickly as possible. We also got an update about the Fountain Avenue traffic calming. The request for proposals has gone in for phase two. In phase two, just to remind everyone, that's the phase where the sidewalks will be expanded. So it's also where we're going to have to dig up the sidewalks, change all the utilities, change all the streetlights and the signal heads and everything. So it will take a while, but their hope is 36 months from when we get, from March 12th, when we get when the RFP is due, that we'll be at 100% design plans. And also part of that is information from phase one will influence phase two. And then one other thing is as commissioners, we requested an update on the Willoughby Greenway project. So this one is a traffic calming project. It's not bike lanes because it's much too narrow of a street for bike lanes, but there is a significant amount, even right now, of cut-through traffic that goes through Willoughby. It creates a lot more traffic accidents on what's very much a residential street, and also a lot of speeding and a significantly higher amount of pollution because of people cutting through there. And so we commissioners requested that our staff look into really getting this plan off the ground for the Willoughby portion about the time that the Fountain Avenue project is done so that we won't be directing traffic into there. And that's all that I've got. Oh, and one more thing about the Willoughby Greenway. It's the traffic calming is mainly roundabouts and enhanced pedestrian crossings, all meant to slow down traffic and really discourage people who are just kind of trying to use it instead of Santa Monica. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Helen, and that will be all for the public comment section.
Thank you, and I see there is no unfinished business on the agenda this evening. So with that, we are going to move to Chief Munoz from the Fire Department for his report.
Thank you. Thank you, West Hollywood, for all your support. We, the Los Angeles County Fire Department, are proud to be your fire department, and thank you, commissioners, for the support that you bring to our department as well. I'm a new battalion chief here in the city of West Hollywood, but I feel very supported from a lot of different departments. So thank you for that. This is the activity report for December 2025, which generated 665 calls for service. We had 10 fires, 5 rubbish, 3 cooking, 1 vehicle fire. We had 458 medical calls, 112 were advanced life support, 226 were basic life support, and we had a total of 338 patients that were transported. We had zero hazardous materials calls. As far as the hazardous materials conditions calls, which fall into the electrical and gasoline. We had 3 electrical malfunctions and 1 gasoline spill, 30 service calls, and 164 good intent calls. Comparing the 2024 to the 2025 December timeframe, in 2024 we had 614 calls. December gave us a 665. Which equates to approximately 20 runs per day in the city of West Hollywood. There wasn't much of a change. However, we did generate, we didn't generate, but 15 fires were generated in 2024 in comparison to 10. So we are down by 5 calls, which is a good reduction. And it's a testament to the public service that the Sheriff's Department provides and the Safety Commission has implemented, and that that reduction will also reduce the potential for a larger fire growth in the area. At this moment, any questions for me, or if there's anything that I can pass on to Chief Smith, I'd be more than happy to do so.
Commissioners, do you have any questions? Commissioner Blau. Vice Chair Blau.
I think Kelly got in before me. Thank you. With respect to the arcing, because there's a lot of arcing incidents that we've seen in this report and the prior report. In December, we had a lot of rains around that time. In November, there was a lot of wind, I think, around the time when we had significant arcing. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the rains around the time contributed to the arcing, you know, material around the electrical equipment?
I would say that the with rain, there's wind, a lot of weather changes that occur that the city is prepared for. However, the city cannot account for sudden weather changes that do affect the that would contribute to arcing. So a lot of it is weather related. A lot of it is some of it is out of our control, unforeseen one-offs. However, to answer your question, I would say it's a lot of it's weather-related, wind-related as well, which disrupts the some of the electrical components throughout the city.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there anything? It's my understanding, rather, and please correct me if I'm wrong. It's my understanding that SoCal Edison and I think DWP, who does some of the electrical in the city, it's their responsibility to do maintenance generally around like transmission lines and distribution lines to prevent any kind of events happening. Is that correct?
I would side with you on that one. A lot of the on our end, whenever we determine that there's a need for corrective action prior to any event or weather event, we do get ahead of it as well. The community can also do the same and request from Edison or the companies to come out and mitigate a lot of the issues that are potential.
Okay. Is there a resource that we can we report that on the WeHo app, Anita? If residents see, you know, I've seen people reporting before where there's, you know, trees and I don't know other like garbage getting close to power electrical distribution lines to report.
The WeHo app is absolutely a wonderful resource to report those types of situations if any residents are seeing that, because that gets routed to the appropriate city departments and they're able to send out resources and assess and make the right decisions on how to handle each situation. So absolutely, that would be the perfect place to report those types of situations.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Chief.
No, thank you for the, that was a great question. Thank you.
Commissioner Pilarski.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
I had a couple of questions about some trends, and sure. I don't know if you'll know the answer, but looking at about 15 rubbish fires in December of 2025, and December is usually a colder month, I imagine. Is that a normal number? Is that high number? What's 15?
I would say the from my experience, I've worked for the fire department for 23 years. A lot of the numbers they're going to vary. There's not one month that would be a would necessarily bring a reduction or an increase.
Okay.
These are
It's just random.
Just random. A lot of the numbers will change. So next December, that number may be less, it may be more. So there's it will fluctuate. There's really no way of securing an absolute number.
Okay. And I mean, I'm just trying to get an idea. Like 15 seems really high to me, but maybe that seems like an average amount to someone that's been in the department for a while.
15, as far as the area, it's 30 days in a month. I mean, it does appear to be like a good amount. There's other areas that have a whole lot more. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there are other cities that do have quite a bit more.
Quite a bit more.
It doesn't make it right. However, we did have 10 in comparison to last year's 15.
All right. Well, thank you for your prompt service on those fires, and take care.
No, thank you. Thank you for the questions as well.
Commissioner Ng.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome, Chief Munoz. This is actually more of a comment to the Vice Chair's question. I live in a property that is next door to another building that has like a ton of bamboo, and it's all hitting the phone lines. Mm-hmm. I had contacted, this might have been before the app, I'm not sure, but I had contacted Code, and Code directed me to call DWP. When I called the guys, they said, don't worry. And I said, you don't even know what property. He said, we have people driving around constantly, is what they said to me. And we know, he said that, you know, or the whoever I spoke to there said that they have a list and they're driving around constantly monitoring this. So that went a long way to making me feel better. It does seem that this is something that that DWP is on and that regularly pays attention to. Thank you.
That's that's good to hear. My understanding is that Edison does the same as well. They do.
Maybe I meant Edison.
No, I'm sure you're right. Edison also does the same. They'll approach residents at times and request to limb trees and reduce the foliage around the lines as well.
Yeah, I think because Edison services the city and DWP does not. I think is the difference. Who am I paying my bills to? I'm not sure.
Commissioner Secretary, do we have any public comments at this point?
We have no public comments on this item.
Chief Munoz, thank you very much.
Thank you guys for making me feel comfortable, and it's my first one, so thank you.
You did great.
Thank
You are allowed to leave now, Chief. You're real comfortable in the chair. Next up, we're going to hear from Jackie Hernandez and the Ambassador Program from Allied Universal Security, who will give a report. Are you here? Okay. Sorry, Valerie. That's a Jackie. You already got that. Just making up names.
Chair, we just want to make a note that Commissioner Post is now part of the commission
Post
at the day. So,
joined us. Welcome, Commissioner Post.
Great. Sorry. Go ahead, Valerie. Sorry.
I'll go ahead and get started with the citywide totals for December 2025. For hospitality assistance, we had a total of 4,382. We had 3,403 business contacts. 1,223 unhoused contacts, 675 calls for service, 32 safety escorts, 398 scooters and property parked, 14 sheriff assistants, 6 EMS fire, and these totals reflect all documented ambassadors' activity across the West, Mid, and East combined for the month of December. Moving on, for the staffing and training, the program did operate at 97% staffing during the month of December. And as far as training completion, we recorded at 100%. That concludes the staffing and training portion citywide.
Commissioners, any comments or questions at this point? Commissioner Pralarski?
Press the button fast. Hi there. I wanted to congratulate you on the 100% training. Your people are out there. I mean, I see them all the time on the east side, and I'm really, really happy when I see them. Everyone's really approachable, really professional. I specifically make a point to talk to the cyclists, so thank you for continuing that incredible workforce that you have. I was looking at some stats between the west side and the east side, and I was just wondering, when you're leveling staff, when we look at some of the heat maps, is west side seeing the same number of walking routes and that as the east side is seeing?
No, we do experience more activity on the east side than the west side.
Okay. Yes. I was curious because that's what your numbers are showing. Interesting. Okay. And then as far as trends go, and this is your fourth month, I guess, right? January. Are you guys seeing any like high call volumes and certain things that you would want to bring to our attention other than what the numbers are telling us? Anything we should be aware of?
Yes, thank you for that question. We've actually seen a lower volume when it comes to calls for service.
Okay.
I personally look at it as a positive thing, seeing that the ambassadors are out there being visible, assisting, providing resources to those that need them, rather than us waiting on a call to go and assist.
Thank you. Yeah, I do see them pretty active out there, so wonderful. And then I did want to just make a follow-up to staff on the extended hours point, just having that continued conversation around, you know, where that helps us specifically with some of the events coming up in the city. I know there's a lot of stuff going on after our presentation on January 20th, lots of events coming up in 2026, so just something to consider. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, commissioners? I don't see names. Commissioner Eng.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Valerie. Actually, something I want to bring up is that Commissioner Pralarski seemed to ask if the East and West had the same amount of foot patrol. I think your answer was that there's just more activity on the East side, but are you saying that there's more activity in terms of calls or that there's more activity in terms of your people walking it?
My apologies, I misunderstood the question earlier. Yes, we do have the same activity on foot patrol and vehicle patrol, as well as bike patrol on the East and the West side. That is correct. Equally across the city.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's interesting because something that I noticed when I broke down some of the numbers, like the scooter numbers and the unhoused calls on the east side are super high. The unhoused calls on the east side were 214. On the west side, they were only 114. And it's interestingly, I feel that I oftentimes hear more I don't want to say criticism or more complaints about their being unhoused on the west side. I feel like I hear more complaints about the west side than the east. So I'm sort of wondering why, if you have a theory as to why there's so many more, the numbers are so much higher for the east side.
Yes, as per what the numbers are showing, it does seem more active on the east side than the west side.
And I mean, I guess I'm wondering why. Do you feel, I guess, I don't know if just West Side people aren't calling as much as maybe they should be, because I hear a lot of conversation about the unhoused on the West Side. So I guess I'm sort of not it just doesn't seem to match, and I'm trying to figure out why. And if it is something that maybe we need to make Westsiders more aware of, I'm not sure why it's so much higher on the east side.
And Commissioner Ng, I'm going to jump in. So I'm looking at the report myself. So you're saying that for looking at City West, so the west side of the city for 2025 for December for unhoused contacts, so I see 518 total. And if I go to the east side, unhoused contacts, I'm seeing 548 for December. So where is the discrepancy that you're referring to? Or?
Yes, I'm looking at the chart now, and I was only reading one section, not the entire. Yeah.
Got it. And just to clarify as well to the commission and for the community members that are viewing and folks here in the council chamber, so the unhoused contacts, right, that's not a result of completely a call for service, right? So that doesn't mean that somebody called specifically for an unhoused community member. That is accounting for the proactive contacts, right, as well, that a security master teams are doing on a day-to-day basis, right? So while they're out in foot patrols, bicycle patrols, if they happen to see an unhoused community member, then they are expected to make proactive contact. Obviously, community members can also call the service request line, and then that'll dispatch a security ambassador as well. So just kind of painting that picture for the commission as well. So that's including both of those, right? Both reactive in response to calls for service and proactive as well.
Okay, thank you, Director.
Sure.
Actually, then I think I'll move into this. Commissioner Post and I did a tour, I guess, with West Hollywood West. And I think something that this sort of is illustrating is that when we were with the West Hollywood West Neighborhood Watch, something that they seem to point out is that there are a lot of abandoned properties and maybe businesses in which the unhoused are sort of taking up residence. So I guess that makes sense because on the east side, they're just on the street. So maybe it's possible to have more bicycle patrol or more proactive monitoring of some of these properties?
Absolutely. This could definitely be brought to the city, and we'll definitely look into it.
It was a comment that was made, so I'm sure they'd appreciate, you know, and now officially we're saying this. So, all right. I think that's it. Thank you.
And Commissioner Ng, and just to that point too, again, just to add to that, so we do have a monthly vacant property task force meeting, and the vacant property task force meeting is comprised of code enforcement, sheriff's deputy, we have other internal city departments like building and safety, planning, they're a part of that group as well, but we also have a representative, Valerie and or Jackie, also participate in that. For awareness purposes, and so the intent of that monthly meeting is to go over all the identified vacant properties citywide, share information, right, if there's calls for service, trespassing, things like that that we've experienced over the last month, and then, you know, allocating or deploying resources, as you mentioned, Commissioner Ng, right, having Allied do increase patrols as well as our sheriff's deputy special teams as well, and our code enforcement staff as well patrol those vacant properties pretty heavily depending on the level of activity that we're experiencing or that we're seeing that's coming across. So I just wanted to add that as well for context.
Thank you. Is that a community member, my neighbor Christoph, in the audience? Okay, can I ask, are you here to talk about Plummer? Okay, thank you.
He is. I'm sure he will get up to speak, like everyone does. Commissioner Hallman.
Thank you, Chair. What's the overall footprint that your team covers in the city?
The overall footprint as far as?
For patrol.
For patrol?
Yeah. Like, what areas do you cover? I guess my question is because are we no longer covering residential corridors as part of the standard patrol?
We are. We are covering residential. We patrol on Sunset. We patrol on Melrose as well, too. And, of course, the Boulevard.
But what about residential streets? Because I guess what I'm getting at, residents have come to me and they're just curious why they don't see a presence walking or riding up and down the streets, which we had at one point. I know you do respond if a call for service is made, but is that not part of the standard overall footprint to walk residential streets?
It is on vehicle patrol as of now.
On vehicle patrol?
Correct.
And how is that done? Like how many vehicles are out at one time? And is that, I would assume, supervisors?
Supervisors and also authorized patrol drivers. We have one on the east side, one on the west side, and they both patrol the mid side as well, too. Okay. And they are patrolling hourly.
Hourly, okay.
Yes.
So throughout the day and in the evening, then?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, that was my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Post.
Hi, thank you. You mentioned the training that we're at 100% for staff to be trained. As part of that training was coordination. I know we've talked about the coordinated response framework with our human services. Were allied services trained on how to call the homelessness concern line?
That is correct, yes. That's part of the day one training.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I only say that because I want to congratulate you. I did go to the subcommittee on homelessness, and it showed from October to November that calls were only about 64, and they're anywhere between 64 and 70 the 3 or 4 prior months, and then in November to December, they jumped to 144. So I think that's just really great training on you all's and just coming in and hitting the ground running, especially when connecting to those homeless services. So just appreciate you training them and continue the great work to increase that call volume.
Thank you. Thank you for that feedback.
Vice Chair Blau.
Thank you, Chair. Valerie, thank you for the presentation this evening. A quick question regarding the vehicle residential patrol that you were just talking about. I haven't had a chance to do a walk along with Allied yet, so I'm curious. When they're doing a vehicle patrol through a residential area, would they stop and report a large item for pickup on the WeHo app?
Absolutely, yes. They will record it on the WeHo app, and they're also instructed to communicate with upper management and let us know.
Okay, great. Cool. Love that. Thank you.
Commissioner Ng?
No.
Commissioner Secretary, do we have any public speakers at this time?
Yes, we have one public speaker, Ed Holman. If you want to approach the podium, you'll have 3 minutes.
Good evening. Ed Holman, West Hollywood resident. Quick question regarding the scooters. You say you received over 300 calls regarding the scooters. What was the result of the calls? Were they moved? Or if so, where? What is done when you guys get calls regarding scooter problems on the sidewalks? Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. And that's all the public comments.
Thank you very much, Valerie.
I have a question, if that's okay, just like a process question. If a question was raised and I wanted to ask that question, because I think it's a good question, how would I go about asking that question, like the question that we just heard?
Absolutely. So if a public comment is made and there's a comment that is absolutely relevant to the agenda item that is being discussed, as a commissioner, you can request the presenter to acknowledge, to answer the question.
Okay. Chair, do you mind if I ask?
Okay. Vice Chair Blau, please ask the question.
Thank you. Valerie, can you help us in the community understand what the reported item for like scooter improperly parked practically means?
Absolutely. As of yet, we have not received a service call pertaining to the unparked scooters. As far as the data goes, when our ambassadors are out on patrol and they see something, they are instructed to pick up the scooter, safely move it out of the way so it doesn't affect anyone's safety, and record it.
Okay, and so that's to say that in December 2025, almost 400 scooters were moved, I guess, proactively by Allied, or the security ambassadors
that
across the city.
Yes, that is correct.
Got it. Okay, thank you so much.
And
thank you for the
and just to
can I,
and just
before,
to add,
before
yeah,
Danny,
sure.
sorry,
yeah,
just it might be relevant. So when you have those, you move those, does the city then report this to the scooter providers that we're contracted with? Do they understand how many of their scooters are parked in a way that affects public safety? And is it a report that they're given regularly, and how do they respond? Maybe this is you, Danny. That's why I wanted to jump in.
Yeah, so I was just gonna hop in. So so the security ambassadors are performing that if they're seeing that there is a scooter, right, that's blocking pedestrian access, right, on the sidewalk. So they'll move it to an area where it's not doing that, maybe in the parkway area, or to another location, you know, hopefully that gives them the visibility, right, to move that, right, so that you have pedestrian access. So there is an app and there is an email. The city's official app does have a topic related to that that goes directly to Lime, to the scooter company. And then they're responsible for responding. So that is not something that falls under directly the responsibility of security ambassadors. We simply included that to just try to respond to some folks saying, hey, security ambassadors are out, you know, walking the streets. If they come across something that may be blocking a driveway or a crosswalk, or again, sometimes, you know, they may be placed just in the middle of the sidewalk, can they move that, you know, to a safer location? So that is what they've been doing. You know, it's interesting, obviously, to hear that obviously folks aren't reporting that directly to the security ambassadors through the service request line, but there are a number of requests that do get submitted through the city's official app, but those are not going to code enforcement. Those are not going to security ambassadors because that is not their responsibility. The city has discussed this item several times with the city council, and so that is a discussion that has been had. There's a process that's been implemented in terms of reporting that, and so that is handled right now through our transportation and mobility division that was just recently established and created, and so they do have a team member there that's managing and kind of being the liaison that's overseeing that agreement between the city and Lime.
Do you have an approximation of how many people went through the city's app? And where those numbers, how they correlate with what we just heard?
I do not, yeah.
Any other questions, commissioners? Any other public comments?
No other public comments.
Thank you very much, Hillary. And next up, we'd like to welcome Lieutenant Turner for Sheriff's comments and report.
Good evening, everyone. For the month of December, West Hollywood Station personnel handled a total of 1,578 calls for service. 84 of those calls were for an emergency response. Deputies made 39 felony arrests and 91 misdemeanor arrests. Our part one crimes for the month, we had 147 incidents. When broken down by district, the West accounted for 54% with 80 incidents. City center, 19% with 28 incidents. The East, 27% with 39 part one crimes. There were a total of 10 pickpocket thefts. Our MET team responded to a total of 69 incidents for December, and our SWAT submissions were at 42. Our West Hollywood Station volunteers donated a total of 187 hours for the month of December. And I wanted to touch on some traffic incidents which occurred in the city in the month of December. There were a total of 8 vehicle versus pedestrian traffic collisions. Of those 8, 3 collisions were caused by party one, being the driver of the vehicle. And 4 of the 8 were caused by the pedestrian, and 1 is still under investigation. In December, we had 2 planned DUI operations take place in the city. As a result of those operations, 3 arrests were made of drivers operating their vehicles under the influence. 8 citations were issued for various violations of the vehicle code, and an additional two people were arrested for outstanding warrants related to traffic violations, coincidentally. And I also wanted to report that of the 10 aggravated assaults in December, two arrests have been made. Our entertainment policing team is continuing to be present outside of the bars and clubs. West Hollywood Station has deployed the mobile flock camera trailer on Melrose Avenue in December, which has resulted in no additional thefts at a business that was seeing repeated theft in the month of December. We will continue to move the mobile camera trailer to various areas of the city that are experiencing an influx in crime. And with that, I'll open it up to questions.
Thank you, commissioners. Any questions? Commissioner Pralarski.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Lieutenant. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I wanted to thank you for leading with the DUI stats. I know that that was something we spoke about during our December meeting, and I was really looking forward to this focus area. I wanted to understand the numbers you broke down of the 11 arrests just a little bit more clearly. You said three were arrested for driving while intoxicated, and then five were just violations, and two had outstanding warrants for them. Is that correct?
It was three arrests for driving under the influence. Eight citations were issued for various vehicle code violations.
Got it. All right. And as those 11 arrests relate to the six collisions, safe to say, you know, six collisions, these guys blew into a monitor and were over the legal limit after the collision happened?
It depends on the arrest. Sometimes a PAS device is used in the field to determine someone's blood alcohol level, but sometimes people submit to blood and they determine it that way as well.
Okay, great. Well, good to see that our DUI arrests are above our traffic collisions. That means we're saving lives before things are getting bad. So very excited to see that. The other question, or not question I had, was the some of the heat maps that we talked about in December, this Vision Zero map that the city's putting together, and the safety ambassador maps that they've now broken down into the same mapping that I think the sheriff's department uses, is that correct? So if we're looking at these maps here, these numbers, like the 9076, that's the same numbers that you guys use?
That's correct.
Okay, awesome. I just wanted to make sure I understood that. And then the last thing I had here was I did a little bit of a 2025 wrapped for the city of West Hollywood as far as like vehicle numbers go, because I know that they're so high here. And I was wondering, so it looks like the West District continues to see our highest percentage at 50-ish 4%, city center around 25, East around 25. But when I did crunch some of the numbers, I saw that the vehicle laws, misdemeanor hit and run number was 430 for 2025. So I'm going to continue to look back in time and see what that number is, but that just seems pretty high. So everybody watch out. And I have one more question, but this is for our director of safety, Danny. I was watching the city council meeting from the 20th, and there was a comment about our public safety cameras that we use in the city. And I just wanted to acknowledge that. Do you have anything that you're able to share with us on the Flock system, you know, how that relates to West Hollywood?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Commissioner Pilarski. So the comment that was made at the council meeting, the last council meeting, expressed some concern regarding some cities across the nation, but I think there was a reference to a particular city here in California that had separated from their agreement with Flock Safety over concerns about data sharing. And so we had heard of the same prior to that comment being made, and so staff is currently working through with our legal team and the Sheriff's Department, as well as directly with Flock Safety as well, in terms of just ensuring that any of those concerns aren't things that we're seeing here or experiencing here in West Hollywood. And so we're going to be continuing to look at that and then bringing forth any necessary updates to the City Council if any adjustments need to be made or recommendations based on our review to the City Council.
Thank you, Director.
Sure.
Vice Chair Blau.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Lieutenant. Thank you for the report. Just a really quick note. I wanted to express my appreciation for the continued traffic focus on Fountain Avenue. Obviously, the citations are large number. Maybe some of that is due to the increased presence, but I always or frequently see traffic units out there, so I really appreciate that focus. I also want to echo what Commissioner Pilarski was mentioning about the DUI focus and noting that a lot of the arrests, or a number of three of them, were on December 24th, Christmas Eve, and so express my appreciation for working and doing such good work on Christmas Eve, so close to the holiday. And then finally, as well, I want to highlight something that community member Wendy Goldman noted earlier, and it's shown in this basically year-end report, is that at least here within our city, the domestic aggravated assault numbers more than doubled this year as compared to last year. So I think that, you know, what we'll see out of the Women's Advisory Board is going to be very important. And, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. And finally, I just want to remind everyone that the sheriff does not engage with or assist ICE operations that happen here in the city or in the community. There really are local community resources, and we really appreciate them. That's all.
Thank you. Commissioner Ng.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Lieutenant. I know that there was like an undercover motorcycle, I think, operation that was implemented because of a grant. I know that I would see on the east side regular monitoring of people running traffic stops. I believe that was like the last quarter of last year. Is that now completed, or is that going to happen again?
No, our traffic sergeant is continuing to have operations.
Okay, cool. And then I understand community member that identifies as MAGA and has been regularly on the corner of San Vicente and Santa Monica, quite near the station. I was made aware that there was an altercation with him. I think he was arrested in October. I'm wondering if there's been any more incidences and if this is being monitored, because it does seem that this person is trying to incite reactions from the community.
You are correct. He has been back. Not in December that I know of. He was back in January. We are well aware of him. And he seems to show up on random weekends. But we are monitoring the area for him. And he was arrested again in January.
So the October arrest, was a physical altercation with another community member, correct? But only one arrest was made.
The October, I would have to check on that, but I can tell you definitively in January he was arrested for battery.
And just him, not another party?
Let me double check and I'll get back to you on that, but I believe it was just him.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Commission Secretary, do we have any public speakers at this time?
Yes, we have one speaker, Ed Holman. If you want to approach the podium, you'll have 3 minutes.
I
Ed Holman, West Hollywood resident. I literally put my slip in about the flock cameras right before you asked about them. If commission can ask, the flock cameras that are in the city, I've seen them around different locations. Are the feds locked out of the flock cameras in the city of West Hollywood? Are they completely locked out? If you can ask that question, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Director Rivas. Would I be able to ask you to answer that to your best of your ability?
That is something that we're looking into in terms of what other agencies potentially may have access. As far as we know, as of this evening, no one other than the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department has access to our flock cameras. So what we do have and that we've had in place for a couple of years now, that was a city council directive, was the installation to expand our license plate reader cameras. So those aren't real live video cameras. Those take snapshots, photos of vehicles, license plate numbers, et cetera. It's not tied to DMV access in any way, shape, or form, so it doesn't provide like registered owner information or anything of that sort. But it is something that, you know, is not only just utilized here, but, you know, across the nation and across several cities. So we've had those for several years. So those are the ones that are installed citywide. Lieutenant Turner did mention we do have a security camera trailer. That's a mobile trailer. That's parked right now on Melrose. So that is a live feed, real-time camera. And then we have real-time cameras that are planned to be installed in fixed locations. And so those are not installed yet. And so the license plate reader cameras, again, those are the ones that we have widespread in the community that we've had for a couple of years. So, as far as I know, again, as of this evening, no other agency aside from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department has, attempted to access, but that's something that we'll continue to look into.
Just to follow on, you said no one from the department. Do we know if any outside, and this is just such a obviously hot topic right now, considering what's going on in the country, but has there been attempts to access this from any outside entities that you're aware of or that?
Not that we're, Lieutenant,
you can answer.
Yeah.
Not that we're aware of. No, we're not sharing any flock information with anyone else.
Thank you for that clarification, Commissioners. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Next up is items from staff of the community safety updates.
Good evening, and thank you, Chair and members of the Commission. At the February 17th City Council meeting, staff will present the city's semi-annual community safety update. The presentation will include public safety activities from the Community Safety Department for 2025, including data from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, Los Angeles County Fire Department, Allied Security Ambassador Program, and the City's Neighborhood and Business Safety Division. Coordinated street vending outreach and compliance efforts began last week. Code enforcement, sheriff's deputies, and security ambassador teams are collaborating together in the Rainbow District to conduct education-focused outreach with street vendors. The intent of this effort is to share information on the city's licensing process, permitted hours and locations for vending, and available pathways to voluntarily comply. Bilingual staff from all participating teams were present to ensure vendors receive clear and accessible guidance. The collaborative outreach last weekend was successful, and we will continue conducting outreach operations in the coming months. On January 29th at Plummer Park at 6 p.m., there will be a meeting focused on coyote education with community members. This concludes the updates from the Public Safety Division. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any public comments at this point, Commissioner Secretary?
Yes. Did you want to speak? All right. Come on down to Ed Holman. You have 3 minutes.
Ed.
Ed Holman, West Hollywood. I just wanted to comment about the hot dog vendors. Back in the 90s, I was a bouncer at Mickey's, and I can remember the stench from those carts from back then. And they were a problem, again, like I said, from the 90s. This is 96. I worked there from 94 to 99 or whatever. And the hot dog carts are still here, and they're a problem with the city. What can be done about these things? 32 years they've been there, at least from the time that when I first started working out there. Just want to complain about the hot dog carts. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Commissioner comments. If you've put a request in, it's not showing up. Commissioner Pilarski, you won.
I'll be first. All right, fantastic. Thank you, Chair. Just two comments here. I wanted to say officially in my appreciation to our city council and our city for recommitting to our constitution. I think that's a really important thing that we say over and over and over again right now. And I wanted to specifically thank Human Services Commissioner Karen Ayers for her public comment last week. I found it really powerful, so much so that I'm saying it here, so thank you for that. I wanted to officially give a massive thank you to our city staff for bringing awareness to some bike lanes that started getting painted green. I know that awareness is our first step to safety, so thank you to the city for that. And just a little, two kind of plugs here. I wanted to do just another acknowledgement to our now Mayor Heilman and past Mayor Byers' request for this kind of joint commission study session around street safety and the Public Safety Commission, because we continue to hear many public comments around how the built environment affects us when it comes to lighting and things in our way and tripping over items. And I know that that's not Public Safety Commission's purview specifically, but definitely committed to making sure that we're looking after all of those things when we talk about livable streets. So I just wanted to put in a little tag on that, and that's all I had. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Commissioner Ng.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with Ed. The streetlight thing, I actually had to deal with that, and I contacted Helen Collins. Director, I believe it's Caltrans that does it. I don't think the city can actually repair the streetlights. Is that correct?
The streetlights actually would be Edison. yeah, it wouldn't be Caltrans, but So Edison would go out and take a look, and then the city's Public Works Department, as you mentioned, Helen Collins is the director of. They also have a contract with folks that go out and take a look at streetlights, but Edison essentially is the sole agency that supplies power here in the city of West Hollywood.
Obviously, I cannot remember who I pay utility bills
to. That's okay.
But hopefully that answers, because I have had to deal with that, and it's not that we have people in the city that do it. The Coyote community meeting, I want to thank a community member who reached out to me to ask. It made me, when I did the research, realize or remember that the city had actually done a workshop about this last year that manager Adam Midas had led. Shout out to him if he happens to be listening. I miss him. But it was actually really fantastic. It was great information. So if people can't make that, you should definitely watch it, or watch it and go to the meeting. I learned quite a bit about how they move, how they act, and what is legal to do. And just as an FYI, it is not legal for animal control to cull. Private companies can do that. I watched the thing. I'm telling you, I learned a lot. Even how they breed was something that was revealed, and it's really fascinating. And then I think, I'm just going to end with this. Right now, everything is really nutty out there, and that's really a light word. I really feel like in society we're going through a collective trauma. And I don't think that's being talked about enough, because I think there's so many debates about what actually happened. But regardless, we're watching death over and over again on the news.
And it reminds me sort of like during 9/11, how people had to say they had to stop watching news or turn it off because they consistently saw footage of the crash happening over and over again, and there were children who didn't understand that it wasn't happening over and over again. So I just want to make note that it's a rough time, and I hope that everyone takes a beat to recognize that there's a lot of grief and trauma, and to just go easy on yourselves and go easy on everyone else, because I don't think it's being acknowledged enough. I think we're really focused on the politics, and that something that people should keep in mind is again, the trauma that we're all experiencing in witnessing violence so regularly. If you want to do yourself a favor, let's all stop doom scrolling, and let's, you know, yeah, let's all, I say this a lot in regard anyway, but let's get off our phones and just live our lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Post.
Hi, thank you. Sorry for missing the December meeting, but great to see everybody again since then. I also just wanted to thank the fire department. I did participate in the most recent CERT training. Particularly thank you to firefighters Hugo, Palomino, Freeman, Laub, and Saldana. They were great trainers, and I felt everyone in the class really enjoyed their time and felt more prepared. So appreciate their work on CERT and having a community response to emergency situations. I mentioned some of the stats from the homelessness subcommittee that I attended in coordination with being a liaison to the Human Services Commission. I just want to congratulate the Human Services Division on Holloway. They're now 100% capacity. They just had their first permanent long-term housing placement with more coming in February. So just really seeing that program get lifted off the ground has been great to see. And I know there's more great work from the coordinated response framework still to be done there. So just appreciate all the city staff. And then lastly, again, I hope we can find some time to find respite for ourselves, but also honor those victims of ICE. Please try to support rapid response networks. The city has resources as well that you can support, so definitely go check those out. That's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner Post. Commissioners? Thank you for my fellow commissioners who brought up ICE. I think that there are a lot of resources, but I think with many things, sometimes unless you're going onto the website, unless you're reading about it, you are sort of doom scrolling. You're thinking about the worst, but not preparing for the worst. And I think that it would be valuable for us to think about this becoming an agenda item in our next meeting, or having sheriffs potentially dedicate a specific amount of time to that meeting to just generally inform the public. And this could be also for folks who aren't coming to city council or other commissions. And I think that if we don't do something like that, then we're gonna continue to hear feedback that we're not addressing it. And I don't think as a commission that's fair to the individuals who do show up here or the individuals who stop us on the street to ask questions. I don't think we can kick it to it being available on a website only. So I would like to put forward a motion that we put it on our next agenda in February to have a more concrete discussion around the resources and concerns around ICE and invite the public to participate in that.
If I may as well, Chair, I think one of the topics that I think would be of particular interest to me and I think others is, you know, what are we as community members able to do, and what should we not do with respect to, you know, observing and staying away from ICE and any kind of enforcement operations. As we've seen, you know, bystander recording has been helpful in highlighting the truth. So I think that that's something that I would personally find very helpful, to know where that boundary is and should remain as well.
Chair, if I could just to add. So we can definitely talk with the city clerk's office and the city manager's office. It's definitely been a topic of discussion, something that we discussed this morning in our management team meeting. I will share that the city did issue a updated press release and statement today. So that was sent out, and it does give updated information, and it covers a series of different things from Know Your Rights webpage that the city created. We have, a Resist webpage as well that speaks to this. It does point folks to resources as it relates to the County Office of Immigration Affairs. And I know that the city has worked in concert with LA County and different departments to put on some informational sessions for folks that have been provided from attorneys from different firms. And I think Commissioner Post had mentioned that our Human Services Department does have a rapid response kind of bench contract for folks, that need any sort of assistance. So certainly here, you Chair and the Commission, we know how important this is. We know community members have voiced, concerns or questions, and rightfully so. And so I will definitely speak with our city clerk and, again, our city manager's office, because a lot of what's happening, too, even though there's different departments, human services, community safety is a part of that, our city manager's office, our community and legislative affairs folks, so all of that is tied into it and figuring out what would be the best way to potentially have an item that comes back, on the agenda, or figuring out what's the best mechanism that they are offering us for guidance and following up with the commission on that.
Thank you, Director Rios, I appreciate that. Sure. Any additional questions, commissioners?
Chair?
Commissioner Holmes.
Thank you. Everything you said, I think, is great. And I know it's a lot of intel and a lot of different departments, but as an agenda item, it would be nice if maybe that could be presented to us in some form or the other for the commission as well as the community, because press releases and putting written material out is great, but the community, press releases are for the press. That's what a press release is for. It's not really for individuals. And I think we need to think about doing a better job of communicating these things with our residents. So in agreement with Chair and Vice Chair, I would love to see something agendized for us in our next meeting that just makes it more concrete and more substantial. Thank you.
Great. So let's move that forward then. So I'd like to make a motion that we create a more complete overview of current services available to members of the community for activities by ICE.
I will happily second that motion.
I think it's a first, maybe.
Oh, you made the motion.
You made the motion.
Do I have a second? Got it. All those in favor?
Do I have to
do a roll call? Or
do we? No, I mean, it's obvious that there's consensus. And,
okay.
And again,
great.
I mean,
thank you.
We hear the commission. And as I mentioned, I don't want to make a commitment to placing the item on the agenda if the city clerk's office, city manager's office, or the
as
city
long as
attorney's
I know.
Office.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely, we hear you, we'll follow up, and we will have an update to the commission prior to next month's meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll make a note because I think based on what may be on the agenda next month, there may be someone from
the city clerk's
office here anyways, if we don't get a response before then.
Good point. Yeah.
Okay. And with that, we are adjourned.
Are the basic building blocks of what can get built where, what types of land uses are permitted or maybe restricted, how big buildings can be, and zoning is passed by ordinance of the city council.
You can think of it as the